Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you are about to hear is a message from Dr. Billy Brim and Shelley Brim called The Mystery of Christmas Unwrapped, a special Christmas series from our TV broadcast, Prophetic Witness. For more information, visit billybrim.org.
Okay, now here's another reason why that it would not have been in December. Read that one, Shelley.
The Roman authorities, in imposing such a census taking for the hated and unpopular foreign tax, these authorities would not have enforced the imperial decree as stated in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. They would not have done it at the most inconvenient and insolent season of the year by compelling the people to enroll themselves at their respective cities in December.
You want to borrow these?
I'm wearing one contact, and it's interesting.
Okay. Right.
Okay. But, exactly, if the Romans want to have an accurate counting, in such a case, they would naturally choose the line of least resistance and select a time of year that would cause least friction and interference with the habits and pursuits of the Jewish people. It makes sense. This would be in the autumn when the agricultural round of the year was complete and the people generally more or less at liberty to take advantage, as we know many did, of the opportunity of quote-unquote going up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, as in John chapter 7, verses 8 through 10.
So the people were already going up to Jerusalem.
Right.
They were already making their journeys. So that would have been when the Romans... They didn't want to have an uprising from these Jews.
No, least resistance.
Yeah, so they would have done it. It would be very,
right.
It would be very pragmatic to have it right there at the Feast of Tabernacles.
Exactly, and have an accurate counting.
So everything points to it, and there's no reason why you can't hang baubles on your Christmas tree, and
you've got your Christmas back. Hallelujah!
And
it's wonderful.
And because you, you see, that's when he was made flesh.
Yeah,
he was made flesh.
Yes.
When the angel Gabriel announced that which is coming upon you, that seed is the Holy Spirit. And we might as well, let's go back to Luke chapter 2. This is what we read at our house every Christmas. We sometimes have the youngest child read it. It sounds sweet. Maybe not the youngest being a baby, but usually it'll be Isaac and he's like...
Yeah, and his little high voice. Sounds so cute.
So read that, Shelley, Luke chapter 2.
Okay. So, in light of everything we've been studying and thinking about it, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem,
house of bread,
because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Probably because the people were there for the feast.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
Now, Shelley, let's stop right here a minute. This is where David was keeping watch over his sheep, his flock by night.
That's right.
And now David's greater son is going to be announced to those shepherds.
That's right.
And even those sheep who are Sheep, bear sheep.
The great-great-great-great-grand-sheep
might have been one of David's sheeps. And he was born in the house of bread, Bethlehem. Beth is house, mm-hmm. and Lechem is bread. Bethlehem. And he said, I am the bread.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he fulfills all the prophet said.
And you think about Psalm 23 where he said, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah. Here he is.
I shall not
announcing
lie.
To the shepherds
right.
that the great shepherd is the little baby in front of you. So go ahead.
Okay. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord, which could be Michael.
Could be Michael, and probably is, since he's called the prince of the mm-hmm. angels. It's not named here that it's Gabriel. Probably Michael.
Mm-hmm. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And they were sore afraid. I wonder if we'll see that in heaven.
I want to see it.
And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Now remember, Psalm, was it 97?
Yes.
Psalm 97 prophesied that when he, yet again, that's in the future, Psalm 97, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. I so know that, like Pinchas Winston said, he's a Jewish writer, writing a book called The End of Days, without the prophets, we have little to tell us what God is up to and what to expect next.
Ooh.
But we have the prophets.
Yes, we do.
So we've named this the prophetic witness. Shelley, read what Peter said about the prophets.
Okay, this is found in 2 Peter 1, verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount.
Mount of Transfiguration.
We have also a more sure word
it's more
of
sure.
prophecy.
Than what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah appeared.
Amazing.
More sure.
Yes.
What is it? What's more sure?
Well, whereunto you do well that you take heed.
What is it? What is more sure?
The more sure is the prophecy.
The word of prophecy.
Exactly. And we're taking heed on these broadcasts as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord. And then read Revelation 10:7. Well, I've got some other scriptures down here, but just go skipping on to Revelation 10:7.
Well, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets.
So all the mystery of God is contained in the prophets. And we're going to look at one of the prophets today, Daniel. He absolutely takes us to the very last days, because the angel revealed to him what's called Daniel's 70th week. But you know, when the Jews went into captivity, Shelley, they were carried off over into Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of idolatry and other things that they had done that the Lord lifted his protective hand and they were carried off by Nebuchadnezzar. And so he came and he took the brightest first. He took the young bright minds and he took the seed royal. So the young man in the seed royal who had lived in the palaces in his lifetime was Daniel. And Daniel was carried off. You know the story, how he wouldn't eat the king's meats and everything. And then King Nebuchadnezzar has a God-given dream. God can give dreams.
Oh, yes.
And so he has this dream. And in this dream, he sees a colossus. I'm asking them to put it up online for
okay.
you to. And what he sees about it is he sees these kingdoms. and four kingdoms that are coming. And he sees the golden head, two silver arms, copper belly and thighs, and he sees the iron legs, and then the iron and clay and the feet with the toes. And what these are four kingdoms. Now, Rambam, who is a Jewish ancient sage, ancient rabbi, he lived between 1194 and 1270, and he says this. Shelley, read that there, what Rambam said.
Well, I'm not sure I have it.
The four Gentile kingdoms turn back.
Okay. The four kingdoms are not meant to embrace all of mankind's history, but are to include in outline form the history of the Jewish exile. Therefore, only the kingdoms considered responsible for the exile are mentioned. Good point. Mm-hmm. Other kingdoms, no matter how great their might, are not named. Babylon, responsible for the first exile, is named. Persia, successor in its totality to the Babylonian Empire, is considered the second kingdom, and Greece the third for the same reason. Rome is identified as the fourth kingdom for two reasons. Number one, its conquest included Eretz Israel, or the land of Israel, and number two, it was directly responsible for the subsequent exile from the Holy Land.
Yeah, the second temple was destroyed, and Rome is the one who destroyed
it.
Yes,
that's so,
so we have here, and as they're showing you this colossus that he saw in his dream, the golden head, two silver arms, copper belly and thighs, iron legs. Now, he is so upset by this dream that he contacts his wise men. Now, this is the kingdom of Babylon, but it's also the Chaldean kingdom, the Chaldean part of Babylon. And he, Nebuchadnezzar, is Chaldean. So I'm going to write, this is what I got off. They're famous for studying the stars, for astrology, and but also astronomy, which is a true science. They were good at the true science of astronomy. So the Chaldeans, or the Chasdim, it's the name of a particular nation which practiced astrology and studied astronomy. It was then a part of the Babylonian Empire. Nebuchadnezzar's native tribe was Chaldean. The Chaldeans were known to have greatly furthered the related sciences of astronomy and astrology. Modern archaeology has unearthed considerable evidence that points to their proficiency in both. Therefore, the Chaldeans are called the Chaldean astrologers or astronomers. Shelley, they were so accurate. Now, astronomy is a true science.
Yes.
Astrology is a crazy thing.
Right.
You know, the stars make me the way I am, and they don't.
Differentiate between the two.
But here, you know why we have 60 seconds in a minute?
Because
and 60
of them?
Minutes in an hour? Because of the Chaldeans.
Brilliant.
They're the ones that established that. So, he has this dream. He sees this colossus. He's worried about what it means. I mean, when God's behind one of your dreams, you know it. And so he tells, bring me all the wise men, have them tell me all the astrologers, the astronomies. These are the ones that are highly recognized in that Chaldean kingdom. Come and explain to me my dream.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. We hope you enjoyed the message from Dr. Billy Brim and Shelley Brim called The Mystery of Christmas Unwrapped. For more information, visit billybrim.org.